Well, thank you, Carol. God bless all of you. We have continued in taking a look at God's grace, and we're going to do that at least this week and next week if the Lord tarries. We're going to open tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. At the beginning of this teaching series, we saw that grace is unmerited divine favor. When it says it's divine, it's from God being divine to man. Man doesn't deserve what God does for us. And when it's out of God's grace, we didn't do anything to cause it. So God is gracious all the time, and as the manifestations open tonight, God said to us, I have given you so much. That's grace. He has just blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has given us so much. So grace, generally in the Bible, is unmerited divine favor, God to man. But tonight we're going to look at a couple of other usages of the word grace, which in the Greek is the word charis, which in some Greek lexical aids is spelled K-A-R-I-S, and others it's spelled C-H-A-R-I-S, but it's the word charis. But there are certain uses of this word for grace that don't fit this definition. Instead, they refer to what man does and what man gives back to God in response to his goodness and provision. You know, it's interesting. I spent a little time this afternoon looking at the word grace with the assistance of some lexical aids, and it's just such a rich word. There's so many offshoots and so many related words that really all, when you start to understand the topic, all fit together. The root of the word charis is the Greek word charo, which is joy. And then there's other related words that mean rejoice or joy or to have joy with. But so one of the great truths of God's grace is that he does it out of his joy to bless people. But it also, when you understand God's grace, it brings joy to our hearts, brings great joy. And so that's one of the related words. There's also a number of words that you might be familiar with that are related to gifts. Charismata, gifts of God's grace, the gift of Holy Spirit, you know, the different functions in the body of Christ that grace us in the body are called charismata. And there's another word that is in the same word grouping is the word for forgive. You know, remember what Ephesians says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, God for Christ's sake having forgiven us, that's God's grace to us. But when we realize God's grace, then we should have no trouble in forgiving others. And that use of forgive or grace is horizontal. It's man to man. I think Jesus Christ was asked, you know, how many times should I forgive my neighbor? And Jesus Christ said, what, 70 times 7? Or I mean, it just, you know, we should, part of being strong in grace is having forgiveness for others. And that comes from understanding what God has forgiven us for, what God has done in Christ. But one of the great words, or one of the great ways that this word charis is used. We can see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says in verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes." What an incredible statement. You know, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. See, God graces us. God blesses us with so many, many things. Here it says, all things are for your sakes, all good things. That the abundant grace that God has bestowed upon us might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And the word thanksgiving is also the word charis for grace. So this is one of the uses, thanksgiving or thanks, which shows man's response to God's divine favor is to be thankful, first and foremost unto Him. I like to call this the return unto God. What God has initiated in being so kind, so loving, so providing for all of us in His grace, as we realize it, then we return that grace unto Him. How? By thanksgiving, by thanking God. Look at Romans chapter 6. This is a very significant use of the word charis, grace, in the New Testament. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 6 says, "But God be thanked." That word is charis, grace. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine," or another translation, "that type of teaching which was delivered you." You know what so much initiates the grace of God is God giving His word, God providing His word, and we've seen that in previous teachings. But as a result, when you realize that we've been saved from sin, that we've been delivered by that type of teaching or form of doctrine, then as a result, our hearts redound unto God's glory through thanksgiving. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Familiar verse of Scripture to many of us. In verse 57, it says, But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the victory in context is the total victory, the final victory that comes with Christ's return. The victory over Satan, the victory over sin, the victory over death, the victory over this present evil age or world that we live in. Thanks be to God for that. And having the knowledge of the hope of the victory that is ours, that's been paid for, causes our hearts to be very, very thankful. That's that completed cycle. It's really, you know, sometimes people talk about a vicious cycle. Have you ever heard people say that? You know, somebody gets on the wrong foot and it starts spiraling downward. Well, this is the exact opposite. This is spiraling upward, where God initiates and blesses us by His grace, by His word, by all that He does for us. And then our response is one of thanksgiving. E.W. Bullinger saw this pattern. After I had worked the Word of God and seen it, I came across this in one of Bullinger's writings. He wrote, "Grace on the part of the giver is favor." It's on the part of the giver, God, it's favor. "Grace on the part of the receiver," which would be us, "is thanks." This is also reflected in other languages. Perhaps you know that, in Spanish, What's the word for thanks? It's gracias, grace. In Italian, it's grazie, grace. You know, when we get together and eat, or you know, when you receive food, and are, you know, many times before eating, what do? We say grace, which is, you know, just say thanks. Say thanks to God for his provision. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So a very important part of being strong in grace, being steadfast in grace, and all those things that God encourages us to do that we looked at last week, is to be thankful. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that I'm not thankful for. I mean, you know, but none of them are associated with our God. They're associated with this present evil world and the systems of this world and all the other junk that you encounter. But in every one of life's situations, even in situations that are very difficult, we can be thankful. And that's why God commands us to be thankful. It certainly helps us stay healthy and healed and prosperous. And it brings, as we saw in our first verse, it redounds unto the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Now thanks," or grace, "now grace be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." See, thanks unto God, the return unto God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please, while we're in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "But thanks, but grace be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." You know, they could be thankful that Titus so cared for them, and they were thankful unto God of how he had worked in Titus's life. Look at the next chapter over, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, "Thanks, grace be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Isn't that terrific? Doesn't that just show the whole thing? Look, God has so blessed us with the unspeakable gift of eternal life, of Holy Spirit. As a result of that, we're so very thankful in our hearts back unto him. That completes that virtuous circle or virtuous cycle. You know, I've jotted this down, that out of God's goodness, his joy, and out of his delight, grace is given. It is to be received by the believing one with joy and thanksgiving, which blesses the Father back as well as others in the body of Christ. So you could take some time and, you know, with a concordance and look up this word charis and see the many places in the New Testament where it's translated thanks or thanksgiving. But being cognizant of God's grace is the basis of that. And all of this comes from God's joy to bless his people. Now there's another wonderful use of the word charis that also fits this pattern of the return unto God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, back in the book. Because grace is also used in the New Testament of financial giving, what we've called abundant sharing. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 3, it says, "And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." You know, this is talking about the church at Corinth's financial giving to help the saints at Jerusalem. The word liberality is the word charis. It's literally the word grace, translated liberality here, but it is the word grace. And it's really in the essence of a gift given. Abundant sharing is the basis of it, is realizing what God has blessed you with. And then as a result, out of the joy in your heart and your love for God and thankfulness to God, you share of your abundance. And again, that completes that wonderful virtuous cycle. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, this comes up pretty regularly, pretty often. It says in verse, well, we'll look at a few of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and these two chapters, 8 and 9, are about abundant sharing in the church, and the word charis comes up often. In verse 4, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The word gift is the word charis, that literally saying, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the grace. And the grace here is talking about their financial giving. Verse 6, it says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Titus was the one to come and finish this financial giving that was initiated by the church at Corinth. Verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith or believing, at utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Context, this grace is financial giving. This is one of the places that we derive the term abundant sharing, that you would abound in this grace also. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, with this money that was collected, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Abundant sharing, when rightly understood, is a response to God's grace. God has so blessed us, he's so graced us, that we would, out of the joy in our hearts and out of great thanksgiving, would return that those finances unto him. Look at Genesis chapter 14. This is really something spoken of throughout the Word. The first reference here to the tithe is in Genesis chapter 14, the record of Abram. And we'll start in verse 18. It says, this is after a great victory was wrought on Abraham's behalf. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. You know, what was this out of? This was, God had wrought a great victory for Abraham. So as a result, out of thanksgiving, Abram returned that which God has so blessed him with unto God. See, completing that virtuous cycle. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I remember years ago a wonderful saint who came to our fellowship. I was teaching some of this stuff, and it really helped this individual, because what they shared with me afterwards was, yes, they had been tithing. Yes, they had been sharing of their abundance, but they sort of lost sight of really what it was all about. And they kind of almost looked at it like, you know, just another check to write, another bill to pay each month, instead of realizing the incredible partnership that is involved in tithing and abundant sharing of you returning unto God what he has blessed you with initially, completing this cycle of grace. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says in verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So when you give to God, you know, by tithing, by abundant sharing, the first fruits of your increase, it's honoring him. It's an honor to God. Look at Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. It says in verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is whose? The Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. You know, I think a good thing to keep in mind when it comes to the sharing of our finances, the sharing of our abundance, is that first and foremost, it's unto God. You know, it's to honor God. It's with thanksgiving unto God, a demonstration of our partnership with him. It says in verse 31, and if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth, or tithe, shall be holy, and there's those words again, unto the Lord. See, it's the return unto the Lord. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Really, this, some of the things that we read in Corinthians just reaffirm what was already in practice and stated in the Old Testament. You know, it's just out of thanksgiving and out of God having so blessed us and cared for us that we share of our abundance first and foremost back unto him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it says in verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. In verse 12, it says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name in light of all that he had done for them. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. See, it all originated with God. This is, by the way, when they collected all the wonderful things that went into the construction of Solomon's temple. In verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store have we prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name. It cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart have I willingly offered all these things, and now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly, and then again those words, unto thee. Isn't that great? You know, it's really the realization, you know, that everything good comes from God. You know, God is so kind, so gracious and loving that he's just blessed us. And as a result, we respond to that with thanksgiving. We respond to that in our finances. We respond to that in forgiving others. This is grace, but it's grace practiced by us. And certainly, as you can see, God is, you know, the one who initiates it. So abundant sharing is to be a joyous return unto God with thanksgiving in response to his grace and his provision toward us. You know, as we've gone through some of these different things that are related to the grace of God, the wonderful topics that come up, you can see that out of all of this, that God wants a very close, tight relationship with his people. He's the supplier. He's the provider. He's the giver of everything that man needs. That's grace. He's the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that now we are his people, complete in Christ. He is our loving Heavenly Father. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to share unto the blessing of others and unto the glory of God. So praise him for his amazing grace. Heavenly Father, thank you for having so blessed us, having so graced us, Father, with health and prosperity, with all needs met, so much so that we are complete in Christ and have all spiritual blessings. Father, may we continue to grow in that grace and our appreciation of it, in our practice of it, Father, with great hearts of thanksgiving and great liberality in our giving and great forgiveness one toward another. Father, may we continue to grow and become strong in grace and manifest that grace so that others too can see your kindness and that all this will redound unto your glory. So, Father, we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Love you.